If you have your Bible, please stand and raise your Bible above your head and bear witness of God's word. Beautiful. You may be seated, please. We sang about speaking Jesus. We sang it's a beautiful name. We sang about falling down in front of him. We sang that there's something about that name. We invoke God's presence by asking him to come. When you sing songs of praise, and I wish I would have known this when I was smaller and I didn't want to sing, or when I realized that I couldn't sing as good as David could sing. When you sing, you're honoring God with a song. You're honoring him. You're honoring the Son. You're giving that honor to him by giving praise to him. It's all about honor. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, God makes a statement that says, I will honor those that honor me. 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. And so I'd like you to turn to there first, 1 Samuel 2. And then I'd like you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. 1 Samuel 2, Philippians 2. I accused Whitney of sneaking in the office and going through all of my sermon notes. And of course she didn't. It's amazing how God puts you on the same page, isn't it? He knows his message. I'm as excited to be able to deliver his word today as I've ever been. And I hope he's excited until the next time. Amen. But sometimes God puts something on your heart and mind. He keeps reinforcing it. You see it over the course of a couple of weeks. You start digging in his word and he reveals something to you that you've never seen before. But it's a key that unlocks something that can change your whole life or your outlook or your motivation. It can give you a purpose. It can let you understand why we do what we do when we're worshiping God and why anybody would come to him and why anybody would worship Jesus. All these keys can become unlocked and God puts it in there for us to see. And if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, and we're going to come back to this story, but God says, he who honors me, him will I honor. He who honors me, him will I honor. And then we speak about Jesus. We speak about Jesus in such a way to speak his name and say what a beautiful name. Where does all that come from? And is it just religious people that stand in here and then all of a sudden you'll see somebody that's overwhelmed and they're praising God? What is that all about? We read Philippians 2 and we find out what it's all about. In Philippians 2, as I said, Whitney already read it. But that's good. That way it drives the point home. And I'm just cutting up with her. We read a passage where Paul is describing to us why we should emulate Jesus. And it all has to do with honor, yet we never pull that part out of this verse. You see, honor is something that we say a lot about. We know the word. We even give it as a title. But yet, we don't see the significance that God wants us to see in his word. I'm here to tell you that even our salvation and coming to God is about honor. Our life living for him is about honor. Our eternal life has to do with honor. You know, I had the privilege this past week of speaking on behalf of dear sister Wendy, who's close to me, and we spoke to honor her. And that's something that you do. You speak to honor somebody. You talk about what they did that made them so honorable. Several weeks ago, I was traveling up the road, and all of a sudden I noticed that every intersection there were police officers. I thought, what's going on? Well, you see, there was an event that happened that just in that day, not the actual event, but in that day, that really just opened my mind to some things. You see, we had a young man from the community, Jason Shuping, a police officer that gave his life in the line of duty. He sacrificed his life to protect and serve. And so people were honoring him. And as you go up the road, you would see police officers at every intersection. You saw the fire trucks with their flags down. And I looked in yards and I saw people standing with their children there. And their children were there honoring. And I thought, man, I'm overwhelmed. Anybody witness that? And all of a sudden, I realized this honor is so powerful that people stop their day. You know, when you stop your day to honor, that's really honor, because it takes a lot to stop your day, doesn't it? And man, it was such a good feeling, especially in a world that's really, really blaspheming the word honor, I think. Like, I'm noticing that it's almost as if in these days and times we're being told who we need to honor, who we have to honor. We have people that are demanding that you honor them. And basically, some of those people are dishonoring us. And I watched what happened this year as I watched people that demanded to be honored. And I see on an everyday basis people that clearly are dishonoring God by going against what He says to do. We're expected to not just honor but over-honor them because they're a certain lifestyle or a certain gender or something about them. Let's honor them. No cause for that honor except that you're being told to honor. But listen, I watched these people stand in honor without being told. Nobody was making anybody do that. What's real about that? What's real is there was a reason to honor. And I read Philippians 2. We'll begin verse 3. Let's begin in verse 3. Or 2 is fine. 2 is fine. The Bible says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and of one mind." And Paul was speaking to the church at Philippi, and he was saying, let's get our mind right on this thing. And here's what he's going to talk about. You're going to notice how big this is because we read this verse all the time. But God set it up today with all the music and all the songs. He knew what we needed to see. First of all, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And that's the command saying, don't do anything for your own pride or arrogance or to bring attention to yourself. It's not about you. So he's saying, hey, quit doing things that bring honor to yourself. Boy, people are self-motivated. They want honor to come to them, right? It's hard to ever see even somebody in today's time, especially you think about watching any kind of sport or athletic, the first thing they want to do is get up and beat their chest, right? I watched just a brief because I try not to see it. Every time he comes on, I turn it. But I saw a person, an athlete on TV that got an MVP or something, and he demanded respect and honor. It's all about, give me my honor. God says, get your mind right on this. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, not to bring honor to yourself, but in lowliness of mind, speaking of humility, let each esteem others better than themselves. He's talking about we need to honor each other before we try to honor ourselves. Now we go on. He says, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Well, it would take a humble mindset, right? But then he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and humbled himself. He was made in the likeness of man. Being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. This is important here. We're given Jesus as our example. Now watch. Paul says, let Jesus' mindset be in you, right? Someone who humbled themselves and became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Let me explain to you something. You know, we go around all the time and we're telling people, you know, you need to accept Jesus on your as your Savior. Why? Because he died on the cross. People have no idea what significance that means. Died on the cross. What's a cross? But we think as Christians, that's the way to tell them. Well, he died on the cross, but we go no further. Today, I want to show you how honor plays into this. I want you to see something that makes sense and God's trying to show us. He says he became obedient to death. What was Jesus doing? Jesus came to this earth and he lived for 33 years honoring God. When he could have sinned, he didn't. Why? Because he had to honor God. He went to the cross and he died as a sacrifice for our sins. Why? To honor God. You see, obedience is a part of honor. God had a plan. Do you realize God loves you? And God wants you to be in fellowship with him. But our sin stops us from being in fellowship with him. So God said, I'll make a way that I can be in fellowship. I'll send Jesus to be the sacrifice for your sin. And Jesus went with God's plan. And Jesus came to this earth and lived a sinless life. That means he was tempted just like we are every single day, but yet he didn't sin. Why? Because when he could have sinned, he had to honor the Father. And so by honoring the Father, he lived his life. But then, as he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done, he laid down his life. He let people spit in his face. He let people mock him. The Bible says that he had the power to call 10,000 angels down to take him, but he didn't. Why? It was a position of honor. God honored, or he honored God. Now, verse 9. Listen, it's big. After he says that, let this mind be in you, this mind of humility, where you've given your life to honor God like Jesus did, he said, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. Every knee should bow in things of earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So can I put this in context? Jesus gave his life honoring Father God. So because he gave his life honoring Father God, his physical life and his death, then God honored Jesus and gave him a name which is above every name. He said, wherefore I highly exalted him and gave him a name. That means next to God, there is no name. The name of Jesus, what a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Why? Because God highly exalted him. Because he honored him. God turned around and honored Jesus. Well, isn't that what we read in 1 Samuel 2? God will honor him that honors him. So maybe we should talk about this story in 1 Samuel 2. In 1 Samuel 2, we have on the pages of Scripture a young woman named Hannah. And Hannah was barren. She couldn't have a child. She wanted to badly. She wanted to because, and the Bible will tell you, she wanted to honor her husband. And a woman knows how that is. So she took it to God and she prayed to God. And she asked God, God, if you would please touch me. And then she went to the priest, and the priest's name was Eli. And understand, Eli was the big priest, the high priest, the chief priest. Listen, this is a good time to tell you, the position that Eli was in, he was the priest that was in charge of all the tent of the meeting, where you came and gave your sacrifice. Eli had the highest position of honor that God was giving out at that time. She went to Eli. She didn't actually go to him. Eli saw her. God had a by chance meeting, which is never by chance. And Eli saw Hannah praying. And Hannah said, I just want a child. God granted her a child. And his name was Samuel. And Samuel, we say it was conditional. Hannah told God, if you give me a child, I'll give him right back to you. Why? To honor you. Get this, there's honor all over it. I'll honor you, God, by giving you my child. I'll take him and he will be a servant of the priest. And it came that time. We'll read in the scripture where she brought him and she gave him to Eli the priest to serve in the temple as a child. Boy, that would be a tough thing, wasn't it? But not this woman's mindset. You see, she had a different mindset. And I want to read to you her prayer. You'll find it in 1 Samuel 2. It's huge. And I would have you to read verses 1 through 11 on your own. But I want you to see her prayer. Her prayer in verses 2 and 3 say, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him all actions are weighed. Now I want you to tie this in. This is a woman that is giving up her son because God has blessed her and giving her son back into the priesthood to be a servant. And she is praying to God this prayer, and this prayer will come to pass in this passage. You'll be able to see it, and it's a prayer of honor. Listen to what she says. There is none as holy as the Lord, for there is none besides thee, neither is there any rock like you. Important here. It was a prayer of honor. It was a message of honor for God, who he is. What did she say? There's none as holy as the Lord. What else did she say? There's none besides thee. What else? There is no rock like our God. She's saying, you're the one and only true living God. You are holy above everything else. She's saying, you're the only one. You're our rock. You're the one that gives us protection. You're the one that gives us salvation. Everything comes from you. You're our safe place. Everything she's saying is honoring him, right? But then verse 3 is different. Verse 3, there's a warning. And I want you to see this. It's a warning in her prayer. Talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of thy mouth. You know, arrogance and pride is the enemy of honor. As we're told, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus in Philippians 2. He's saying, hey, if you're going to be honored by God, there needs to be humility like Jesus. And that's the same thing Hannah is saying. Don't let arrogance or pride come out of your mouth. Don't let your actions, but yet we're motivated that way, aren't we? Don't we want honor to come to us? In our natural flesh, we do things because we want honor to come to us. Whether it's somebody that's doing their schoolwork because they want to be recognized, or somebody doing their job because they want to be promoted, or somebody working out here to accumulate so somebody can say, you've got nice things, or somebody that's working out so that they can be honored for how they look. I mean, I could go on and on, right? We want to be honored. It's a natural instinct. But sometimes in that quest to honor ourselves, we don't honor God. And this story gives the warning in here, and there's something important here. It said, the end of verse 2, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." Well, this is a foretelling part of this story, and I'll tell you why. Because this priest Eli, which represented God in the highest position of honor, he was the one that people came to, and as Whitney was alluding to this morning, he had to keep himself pure and clean. He was the representative, the intercessor between these people and God. He presented the sacrifices, and he had his sons that served with him, and all of a sudden, there became corruptness in that position. His sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and if you read all four chapters, you'll see the whole story, but they took that position of honor and abused it. They began not going by the Levitical laws of how the sacrifice is supposed to be brought. You see, God said, if I put you in a position as priest, you will be in a position of honor. And because of that, I'll honor you. I'll make sure that you're always fed. You know, they couldn't even own anything. You're always fed. You'll always be taken care of. That's the luxury the priest had. But that wasn't enough. They began to take of the meat of the sacrifice. And they didn't want it a certain way. They said, hey, bring it in here. Don't cook it. We'll cook it the way we want it to be cooked. They began to defile the order that God had put out. You say, is that a big deal? Oh, yes. Disobedience is dishonor. We need to understand that. Why is sin such a big deal to God? Because when we sin, we dishonor God. We're going against what He says we should do. That's so simple, isn't it? We stumble over it all the time. And they began to let their position go to their head. The Bible even says in reference that they thought they were untouchable. They even started sleeping with the women that served at the tent of the meeting because they could. And the people found out. They went to Eli and they said, do you know what your sons are doing? They're corrupting this position, and they shouldn't be doing this. And people were talking, so Eli called his sons together and told them, you need to stop doing this. People are talking. It doesn't look good. And the Bible says that his sons paid no attention to him. You say, well, it was the sins of his sons. No, we find out that Eli let them continue. So it was the sins of Eli too. And there was a day that God sent a messenger to Eli, and he said, I want to tell you what's going to happen, Eli. You're going to lose both your sons because you've dishonored the position. And you're going to die also. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take away your honor. There'll be no more priests that come from you. And you'll read this in chapters 1 through 4, but time won't allow us to read it all. And this did happen. As a matter of fact, when the Philistines attacked the Israelites there, they attacked even where the tent of the meeting was, the place of worship. And they came in and they stole the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. And of course, Hophni and Phinehas were there, and so they were killed. And when Eli heard about it, he was 98 years old. The Bible said he fell back on his chair and broke his neck. You say, oh, what a morbid, sad story. Listen, verse 30 and 31, this messenger brought a saying through this story that we need to pay attention to. And that's the verse that I read to you to begin with in verse 30 of 1 Samuel 2. The verse said, and this is from the messenger, "Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and thy house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me, I will despise. Or them that despise me, I will lightly esteem." You know what that means? I will take honor away from them. This Seems like just an Old Testament story, but it's actually revelational, and I want to show you why. You see, God made it clear how important honor was, and I don't think that we make it that clear today. We have used honor in other terms. We have birthday parties, and we're honoring someone, right? We say, well, he's the guest of honor, and they come. We even have someone who's appointed as the ruler over court cases, and we call them what? Your what? Your honor, and we put that there. We celebrate anniversaries, and we call that honor. But honor is key to our whole relationship with God. God makes a statement here that said, I will honor you if you honor me. What does the honor of God look like? Well, we sang about it this morning. The honor of God, well, it looks like peace, and it looks like confidence. It looks like strength. It looks like an overwhelming excitement, even when things are going bad. That's what God's honor looks like here. But God's honor is different after this life. You see, God's honor is about an honor, a position of honor. And I think this is pretty neat. And man, when I saw this, I just couldn't wait to share it because I thought, hey, this makes everything come together. Ben and I were talking about it last night, just how big this is. But you know, when we read in Philippians 2 where Jesus did all these things, I mean, he lived every single day not sinning. That's a pretty big deal, right? Then he gave his life. That's a pretty big deal. Get this. So because he did that, God gave him all the riches of the world, millions of dollars, right? No. That wasn't the reward. We think the reward is everything that has to do with material things in this life, but that's not the reward. And so that for that reason, we don't even have an idea or concept of heaven. We think heaven is just a place we're going to go and nothing's going to happen and we're going to sing songs and we're going to do this and at least it's not hell. We can't even represent heaven to somebody. No, we need to get this right. Jesus, because he lived and humbled himself and gave his life in obedience to God, God highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name, which at the name of Jesus, every man should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He gave him honor. That was the reward for everything Jesus did. He gave him honor. Why is that such a big deal? Because that's what God offers us. The God in heaven, the God of creation says, if you'll honor me, I'll honor you too. I'll not just honor you in this life, I'll honor you for eternity. What does that mean? That means that if you come to God and you accept the name above every name, Jesus, the way to get to him, then you become a child of God, which is a position of honor. And in this life, if you're a child of God, then he knows if you're honoring him, he will honor you. How cool is that? God desires our honor. In Malachi chapter 1, I want to set the scene for you because it was these same Israelites and they started really messing up the sacrifices again, the priests and the leaders. And the people. Well, the people saw that they lowered the standard, so the people started bringing subpar sacrifices. One of them might bring a lamb that they couldn't use anymore. Had a little game leg and he couldn't walk too good. And so let's just get rid of it. We'll give this one to sacrifice. God said, I see what you're doing. There are people that weren't bringing to God the sacrifice. Now let me be clear to say here, God doesn't need their livestock. And the money. God didn't need their money. God doesn't need your money. You say, I can't believe a preacher said that. Every preacher ought to say it. God doesn't need your money. He owns everything. Can't stand to hear somebody every four Sundays want to come in and talk about money and tell you how you need to give and guilt you into giving. Listen, if you get right with God, nobody will have to tell you to give, because when you give, you're honoring God. You say, well, why don't you preach about giving and money? Because when you switch to money, your mind switches to money. You stop from being a person worshiping to doing your own accounting in here, and your mind doesn't need to even be on that. God will speak to you when you leave here about that, right? And listen, the church doesn't need your money. God doesn't need your money. What he needs is your trust and your honor. You honor God by giving that. Why? Because you're being obedient to him. Listen, God's plan's better than any plan you've ever seen. He says, hey, why don't you keep 90%? Trust me with 10. I'll double it and give it back to you in all kinds of ways. The government isn't giving you anything like that, right? You know what God wants? He wants your obedience. He wants you to honor him with your obedience, and he's watching. Verse 6, he was chastising them, and he said, a son honoreth his father, and a master is honored by his servant, something like that. But this is the phrase I want to get to. He turns to them, and he said, listen, so where is my honor? If I can let you see anything today, I want you to see the God of heaven. Anybody saved in here? Anybody a child of God? Then you have come to God. You've come to God because you accepted Jesus Christ, and you have honored God by putting your belief in Jesus. So because of that, you become a child of God. He is your heavenly Father, is saying, where is my honor? So what does this show me? This shows me God is looking individually at all of us at one thing in my life. Am I honoring him with my life? Am I honoring him with my words? Am I honoring him in obedience? Am I honoring with what I'm trusting him and giving him to? That's big, isn't it? Where is my honor? If I'm your father, where is my honor? What is it that you want to do more than honor me? Well, what we all want to do more than honor God is honor ourselves. Because of what? Hannah's prayer. Pride and arrogance would stop us from doing that, right? Come here. Come here. I know you don't like when I do this. Come here. Take your mask off. Last thing, young man's son wants to do, walk up in front of people and kiss his dad. He listened to what I did. I didn't practice or rehearse or tell him anything. I offered my face to him, and what'd he do? He didn't just kiss, he honored me. Because more than what he wanted to do, because people were around, he honored me. Now, he hadn't always, this is something he's done. I'm not saying he's always done everything. He hadn't. But I'm giving you an example, because the Father wants you to be sometimes in a place where you're not looking for your own honor in order to honor him with an action. Do you get what I'm saying? He wants you to walk up and kiss him in public and be able to make sure people know, I will honor God before I worry about what it looks like I'm honoring myself to do. You honor God by coming into his presence. You honor God in your life by obedience. You honor God by coming here today. You honor God by your effort. You honor God by showing up today. And I know not everybody can show up, but by you sitting there and saying, I'm going to watch this service today. You're honoring God. Why? Because it takes effort and sacrifice to honor. It takes humility to honor. It takes you putting something that would honor yourself away in order to honor God. Even in our prayer life, we honor God by sanctifying or putting aside a time to honor him. And we've even reduced that honor to say, I'm going to talk to him while I drive into work. That's when I'm going to pray. Well, good for you, as long as the person in front of you doesn't slam on brakes and you lose your mindset, or you get it changed to something because the light won't turn. But listen, God wants honor. He wants obedience. And Malachi 1:6, God says, where is my honor? What does that tell me? God is looking to see where your honor is. Amazing, right? Boy, honor's a big subject. That position of honor. And I think how big this is. After all that Jesus did, he wasn't given any cash gift. He was given the greatest gift. He was honored by God. And I think where our mind might have gone to, is that not good enough for us? We expect when we live for God, well, I'm going to live for God now so that he'll bless me with all kinds of material things. Listen, I know people that have material things, but they don't have a peace and joy. But I know people that honor God. And they honor God with their life. They have more than money can buy. This is not a new thing with God. I want you to look at Exodus chapter 20. Because when we say honor, we go to this one verse in the Bible. If I were to ask you, give me a verse that says something about honor, what's the first thing everybody would say? Thou shalt what? Honor thy father and mother, right? Why would God even make a commandment like that? Honor your father and mother, because of how big honor is. Get this. God realized, because he made us, that even as a child, we need to learn the significance of honor. You don't see that a lot these days, because you see a lot of children that are not honoring their parents and parents that are allowing it, right? Well, what's one of the key things of honor? Obedience. I mean, I'll be the first to tell my children, I wasn't always right, but I wanted you to obey me. Why? Because that's a position of honor. Did I deserve that honor? Well, I was working every day of my subsistence to care for them and take care of them, and maybe as poor a job as I did, still it was a position of honor. And God feels the same way, except God doesn't make any mistakes. And God said, I want this implemented. When he came down off the mountain, Moses came down off the mountain and had this commandment was part of it that said, thou shalt honor thy father and mother. And it came with a promise that the days that you have in the land that you're going to may be long. Why? Because God knew how important honor was. If the child doesn't honor the parent, then he doesn't start the principle of honor. The principle of honor goes past that to his school teacher, to his coach, to his pastor, to the police department. But ultimately, it's going to be hard for a person that doesn't honor God or doesn't honor their parents to honor God. You say, are you serious? Right. They've never brought themselves to a position that where they're honoring anybody but them. We're raising a society where we're teaching them not to honor anybody but themselves. We have a society where we do something and we beat on our chest and we say, hey, honor me. I'm the man. I did it. We have to understand that we're not God in order to accept God. So honor is a big deal. But if I ask you, which is the commandment that says honor, you would say honor your father and mother. But I have to tell you, all the commandments are commandments of honor. The Bible says, have no gods before me. What is he saying? He's saying, you honor me by putting me first. Thou shalt not make any graven image. You honor me and only me, not any place, person, or thing besides me. He goes on to say, do not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We sang about that name today, right? That name. You honor that name. Honor that name. Don't take it in vain. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What is he saying again? Honor this day. Why? Because it's a day that has to do with how I created this earth. And I want you to acknowledge that. All the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Honor others' lives. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Honor the covenant you made with your husband and wife, and honor the covenant that other people make with their husbands and wife, and do not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Honor the ownership that somebody else has of something. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor the truth. And thou shalt not covet. Honor what God has given you and what he's given to somebody else and be content. Every commandment has to do with honor. Do you think God's trying to get the point across? Why? Because our life boils down to who we give honor to. And if we give honor to God, then he will give honor to us. That's the reward of life. You say, well, I thought heaven is the reward of life as a Christian. Well, heaven is a place. The place is nothing without God. The place is nothing without Jesus, and Jesus was given the position of honor. So what is heaven? Heaven is where you're going to have a position of honor. It's about being close to Jesus. You say, what depends on how close I am to Jesus? How you honor God in this life? What you put him before? What you give up and sacrifice in order? Remember Hannah? Remember Jesus? Did they not both humble themselves and honor God by sacrificing something? Amazing, right? Now you say, well, how can I just know that I can honor God? Well, the first way that anybody has to honor God is accepting the person that he put in the position of honor, and that's Jesus Christ. In order to honor God, we have to accept him. We can't honor God unless we give Jesus a position of honor in our life. Do you know that? You cannot honor God. You could give to every campaign and every mission. You could go out and serve in every place, but you will not honor God unless you accept Jesus as a position of honor in your life. But don't take my word for it. Jesus said this in John chapter 5, verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth the Son, he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which has sent him. What does that mean? That means that everybody is saying that they're so godly. Everybody that's saying we worship the God of the Old Testament, if you're not worshiping Jesus, even in your worship, you're dishonoring the Father. Sometimes we have a mindset that we honor him just because we believe there's a God. We honor him because occasionally we'll do something for him. The rest of our life is for us, but occasionally we'll get it right. Anybody ever feel like that? We'll be quick to tell somebody if we had to defend it. Well, listen, hey, I believe in God and I believe in Jesus. But our daily life and our actions, they don't really honor him. Jesus makes a statement in Matthew that really sums up, I know it. It hits a lot of people between the eyes, and it should. It was a quote that he made from Isaiah, actually from Elijah. Matthew 15, verse 8, he said, "This people draweth nigh unto me." That means they come near to me, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. What does that tell me? What does it tell you? This same God that requires honor, this same God that's watching our life to see if we're honoring him, this same God reads our heart and mind, knows whether it's just our words or really we honor him in our heart. And if you take this message and say, well, wow, God's watching all that, and I'm scared, and maybe I haven't honored him. This is the God of grace, and that's why we honor him. You know what he says? He said, I brought you here today. I let you tune in today so that I could tell you how important it is. Why? You're starting a new year. You know, up until last week, my prayer I was starting the day off with, and I preached it last week, is God, I want to do my part in your plan today. I want to do my part in your plan. This whole week, I've been praying, God, and this is first thing in the morning, in this day, I want to honor you with everything I do. But I'm not good at that. I need help. I need you to show me when I even am tempted to dishonor, when that thought becomes an action, right? Or a word. God, I want to honor you with this day. I'm not concerned about tomorrow because I don't know if I'm going to have it. So I'm praying for today. God, let what I do today honor you. Well, we say it all the time. We give you honor and glory and praise. It becomes so systematic when we say it. Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise. And then we walk out of here and we don't honor. And he's saying, where's my honor? I've done everything to bring you to me. The ultimate dishonor to God is somebody that rejects his gift of sacrifice in Jesus. What happens to that person? Well, they're eternally separated from him. And I'm sure there'll be people that are listening to this today. I used to be one of you. I was eternally separated from God. I was really thinking about what worked out for me best. And listen, it wasn't a position of just somebody telling me that if I died without being saved, I was going to go to hell. We think, hey, that's the best way to get somebody to accept Jesus. Tell them, if you die, you're going to go to hell. No, listen, the best way is let God be able to speak to their mind and let them realize they need him. They want him. When I realized I was separated from God because I have it, confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus and asked the Lord to come into my heart and accepted what he did. You see, you honor God by believing, saying, God, I trust what you said is true. I give my life, my heart to Jesus Christ, the person that honored you with their life. So I'm going to honor you with my life. When you do that, then you're saved. Yes, some people will get saved because they hear about hell and they want to come to God, but we should never try to push somebody to God by saying, if you don't, you're going to go to hell. God doesn't want you to love him because you have to. He doesn't want to be the choice of cancellation. Well, this is, I'll give my life to God because I don't want to do this. No. He wants you to honor him. Remember those people that I told you about at the beginning of the service that stood out there that weren't being made to? God wants you to love him without being made to. He wants you to recognize the position of honor he's given Jesus. And if you do, he'll give you a position of honor. Well, what comes with that position of honor in this life? Well, a couple of pretty good promises. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and whatsoever he do shall prosper, and his leaf also shall not wither, right? God said, hey, meditate on me. I've got you. By the way, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And if you've got something, cast your cares on me because I care for you. And if you're walking through a bad time, you won't have to walk alone. You might walk through the valley of shadow of death, but you can fear no evil because I'll be with you. My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. I'll anoint your head with oil and your cup will run over, is what God says when you honor him. Glory to God. That's just a couple that come in this life. What does it mean? We're not going to face anything bad? No, it means we're going to face bad things. Everybody does, but we won't face it alone because we'll be honored. We'll be a child of God. And if we're willing to put our honor aside, God will honor us more than we could ever bring to ourselves. If you're willing to walk up and kiss your father, realizing and not caring how it dishonors you in front of somebody else, God says, I'll honor you, I'll pour it on you. Why? Because you showed me you love me, because you obeyed me, and you didn't question, you gave me honor. That same way, God's heart swells up and he says, I'm going to bless you. Honor's a big deal, isn't it? Let me ask you something. Why do you think God would put so many things in the Bible about honor if it wasn't so important? Do you realize our eternity and praise in heaven shaped around honor? Revelation chapter 4, the Bible tells us that we're going to be at the throne of God. It describes the throne and God being there and the holy creatures flying around, and there's something that's being said, which is holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And people are falling down and they're casting their crowns, and that's what we were singing about this morning. But Revelation chapter 5, it tells us about the coronation of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus, we're given a glimpse, was in the midst, and he looked as if a lamb that had been slain. And the Bible said that as they looked on him, they saw him. He was given the title deed of the world, He was praised and exalted and lifted up as what? King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, let me ask you something. A king of kings has the highest honor of king, right? A Lord of lords has the highest honor of Lord. That was ultimately the reward that God gave Jesus Christ, and that's the reward that he will live the rest of his life with in honor. What about us? Well, I'm just a servant, but I serve the King of kings, which gives me a position of honor. I'm protected by him. Do I deserve it? Absolutely not. How did I get it? I like to think Hebrews 2:9 is the best way to wrap this up and give you this verse. Hebrews 2:9, the Bible says, but we see Jesus, explaining Jesus, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor. Well, that just puts it into context. Are we going to suffer here? We will. Should we be scared? Absolutely not. If you've never accepted the position of honor that God's offered you, and you've refused Jesus, the one he put in the position of honor, yes, you should be scared. But right now you're thinking about it. And I want to put it in simple terms for you. This whole message has been about honor. You can clearly see God wants you to honor him. But you should be clearly seeing that God wants to honor you too. He wants to give to you. Throughout the Bible, he wants to give to us. Why? I mean, all of us, if we're honest, do we deserve it? No. But he wants to give to us. You might be someone who's unsure. You knew Jesus died on the cross. You believe it as a historical fact. You believe in a God, but it's never become personal to you. God requires us to personally honor him, which means he tells us there needs to be a time in our life when we realize we're separated from him by our sin and we need to accept the gift of Jesus, that sacrifice that takes away our sin. We honor God by believing in that. We weren't there, so we have to believe it. If we choose to not believe it, we dishonor him, and if we choose to believe it, we receive a position of honor. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you've tried to be a good person, but you realize today there's not this time that I know that I've honored him with my prayer to ask Jesus to be my Savior. You can do it today. You do it by a couple of simple things. You can put it in your own prayer, but first of all, you acknowledge who God is. What are you doing? You're honoring him, just like Hannah did. You're the one and only true living God. I believe you created me. I believe there's none above you. I believe who you are. Then you admit who you are. God, I'm a sinner. I am not holy. And then you admit who Jesus is. God, I believe Jesus received that position of honor. I believed he did this for me, and I want to accept him and put him in a position of honor in my life. That's what you call being saved. When he becomes your Savior and Lord, he becomes a position of honor in your life, and you have a position of honor. You said, I've done that, Pastor, so I hope somebody accepts him. I've done it too. But that doesn't mean that we don't struggle in our daily life between bringing honor to ourselves and bringing honor to him. And we wonder sometimes why we're walking around with no peace in our life and no joy. As a child of God, if I would have told him to come up here and he says no, if I would have offered my cheek and he looked away, my heart would be broken, but my blessings on him would stop. Why? Because he dishonored me. You get it? When you're honoring God, his hand of favor is upon you. His peace that passeth understanding is on you. That's priceless. Christian, where are you at today? What position of honor does he have in your life? You say, well, I'm realizing I need to do better. Don't leave here. Don't dishonor God. If he spoke to you in this service, use this invitation time to speak back to him. That's no different than your father speaking to you and you saying, okay, I'll do something about it later. No, honor him with your response. Stand with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for this time. I thank you, Lord, for speaking to us about this honor, how important it is. I pray, God, that we would see it so clearly. I pray today, Father, in this invitation, if there's someone who's never accepted Jesus as their Savior, they've never put him in that position of honor in their life, that God, they will pray that prayer to you right now and put him in that position as Savior and Lord of their life. And I pray, God, that those who have, Lord, as they lift up their prayers to you, as they respond to your message, we've looked at our life during this message and we've realized there's things that we could do to honor you. There's things that we haven't done to honor you. I pray, God, show us. And Lord, as these prayers go up to you, Lord, receive these prayers. Embrace your children. Take them back and let them know that you're willing to forgive them and give them this new start. And Lord, for those that are honoring you with their life right now and have no reservations, listen to their prayers during this invitation, God, as they pray for all the others. In Jesus' name, amen.